Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
Hello, Devin. Hello. All right. Episode 106. What do you got for us today?
There is no sure mark of the absence of the highest moral and intellectual qualities than a cold reception of excellence.
Okay.
Hit you with that one more time.
Yeah.
There's no sure mark of the absence of the highest moral and intellectual qualities than a cold reception of excellence. I think it's a quote. It's a quote about envy.
Right. I was gonna say it's like, you know, not getting a reaction from someone who sees the. What, you know, that you've done something well.
Yeah, it's that person who gets pissed off when someone else does well.
Yeah, right.
It shows a low morals and intelligence is what they're saying. You're not a good person if you can't appreciate, quote-unquote, greatness.
Right, yeah,
If you can't see it and go, that's amazing. There are things that are, you know, what do you call it? Not overplayed, but... overrated, right? Overrated, okay. Underrated?
Right, yep.
There are things that overrated that you roll your eyes at. Like, oh, yeah, it's, you know, Marvel movies. Okay, fine.
Right.
Yeah, they're good and all, but I don't, whatever.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's my opinion, but...
yeah.
But there are some things that just everyone kind of knows that are great as the person who poo-poos greatness.
Right. I gotcha.
So, if anyone doesn't like our videos, you know, you're just not, you have low intellect and bad morals.
Yeah, exactly.
You cannot recognize greatness. If you can't recognize the greatness.
I will say, though, that that's like a moral test as well, because when you, through the avenue of envy, you know, that's tough, because envy is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, you see someone else doing well, or you see someone else coming up and moving along and doing better than you. That's hard to recognize, you know, it's hard to recognize their skill and the you know, what they have to offer as beneficial and as something good when you're envious of what they're doing, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I've had, you know, like, that could be as in, like, people with craft skills, or people, you know, around you who are, you know, just doing something really cool, or just naturally talented at something, and you wish you could be that way, or you see, like, maybe it seems like an unfair advantage, or who knows, like, and then, but to be able to step back from that envy and be able to appreciate that person's skill and their genuine ability for what it is, and recognize greatness, it's not always easy.
Yeah, what if the person isn't great?
Mm.
Is that, I guess it's still, you're still envious of the person but maybe not envious of the skills they bring. Maybe
right.
you're just envious of the success or the whatever success, they have, yeah. the money or the whatever they have.
Right.
I guess it's still envy. It's just a different,
yeah,
different type.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And like you said, that, you know, maybe you're seeing something that's like overrated and you think it's overrated, but it's hard to, again, like, it, do you think it's overrated because it's overrated, or do you think it's overrated because you're envious of it, the success it has?
Right. And a lot of that is people, it's like when you think a song's overplayed and you hate it because of it, it's not necessarily the song's fault.
Right.
It's that you constantly hear it everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And then you,
right, yeah.
then, you know, the 100th time you're like, is this even that good? I don't know if it's right. that good. And then someone's like, no, it's good. I love it. And you're like,
Yeah, right.
I don't think it's that good. This actually, you know, it kind of sucks. And then from there on, you dig in.
Right.
Like, it sucks.
Yeah, right.
Like you liked it. You liked it the first 25 times.
Right.
Now, you know what? Now I've reassessed. They suck. That sucks.
That's no good. They're overrated.
I hope overplayed. They die in a fire.
In a fire. Yeah, but then there's unquestionable greatness. You know, when you see someone doing something, you can't help but to enjoy it, right? You cannot help but to recognize greatness when you see it. Even if someone is, you know, maybe getting more recognition than they deserve, but the greatness is there. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And actually somebody that comes to mind when I think about that is Jason from Fireball Tools. Not that he doesn't deserve it at all. He absolutely does it. But
someone who's great but doesn't deserve it.
I'm just thinking of like someone who you cannot help but recognize the like awesomeness of what he's doing, creating all these amazing tools and the advice that he's making. I was just listening to the Fitz All podcast with Andrew Alexander and Eric from Hand Tool Rescue and Jimmy Duresta, and they had Jason on from Fireball Tools, and just him talking about the things that he makes and the machining and his positive attitude on what he does and his patriotism for American made things, but also his desire to offer something to the customer that is, you know, attainably priced, and just everything, the way he talks about stuff and the way he runs his business and just he makes the things that he thinks are great and wants to last forever and be the best it can be. I mean, you just cannot, I cannot help but admire him for what he does, and like, and his success has been, it's on par with like the greatness of what he's doing. So
I'll recognize another person, and he might have success on Instagram that I don't know of. And he does have success on YouTube, but it's not, I mean, he should be bigger. He should be over 100,000. Right. Who's the guy, his name escapes me, but the guy who taught me blacksmithing. Or didn't teach me, but gave me that one lesson last year.
Yeah, Brett McAfee.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Skull and Spade. Skull and Spade on Instagram.
Like, his YouTube channel was great. Like,
yeah.
I was watching. Yep. He's like goofy and fun, and obviously he's got the skills. Like, he should definitely have more than what he has.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird because we only see these people from a peripheral point of view. You know, it's like only the very edge of their lives that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, very seldom that we get more of a glimpse into someone's life. You know, you might have a few people that you're a little bit closer to and you kind of understand, especially in our avenue as content creators and part of this community, right? We have a little bit more look into some of these different people's lives and how they run their businesses and how they create their content. But really, unless they're like, you know, like live in your same town and you're with them all the time, you're really only getting this like tiny, tiny portion of what they do. And I will say again, what I've always said, you know, like consistency and, you know, good quality content and, just being consistent and being busy and keep doing things and offering things up. I mean, that is a recipe for success in the content creator world.
This after we missed last week's podcast.
Yeah. Football was one, man.
It's Ravens. Thursday night football.
Thursday night, yeah. What are we doing? And,
well, actually, yeah. the original reason was, we just couldn't. I had work 2 days earlier the week. Dustin had something the other day. The only day was Thursday, which I was going to go to a
Orioles
company party downtown, but I ended up not doing it. But then I just went to Guy's and watched the game. But it was... So I did plan. I was just like, well, I'm going down to this thing. I really don't have the time. And then and then the more I thought about it, I was like, I do not want to go down to the same the same bar restaurant that we go to anyway after games.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, and I don't even think they were footing the bill. Like, it was like, hey, drink specials. Like, I'm going to drive 50 minutes to the city, you know, to $15 worth of gas.
Yeah, right.
And then, you know, 40, 50, 60 bucks worth of drinks and food, and then another 15 back. It's like...
Just to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do the same thing that you do most nights anyway.
Right. Just, I'm like...
Yeah, it'd be different if it was, like, at a different place, and they were fitting the bill, and, you know, like...
Yeah, if...
A big end-of-the-year company party.
Yeah, like, they had talked about doing a couple really cool places, and I was like, and then they just didn't. So, I mean, whatever. If it... Yeah. I'll just say if I was closer, I would have gone, but... You know, we live way too far out of the city for that. And then, you know, you have a couple drinks, and what are you going to drink more than you can't? You can't go crazy. You still got a 50-minute drive. Like,
yeah, right.
Come on.
Yeah, come on. What are you expecting us to do? Yeah.
I can't really party like we used to when I lived 10 minutes from the stadium, and you could get an Uber or whatever, you know. It was
right, exactly.
The good old days.
You weren't married or had kids to be responsible
for. When we drank literally after every baseball game.
Every game. Because you can't leave when everyone else leaves because of the traffic, so you got to stay and drink.
You know, there's 2,000 people in the stadium, you know, it's Orioles.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's the reason why we missed last week is unfortunately it just didn't work with the schedule.
But we will continue. So speaking of that, we can go into the big, not so big changes coming to both the podcast and the channel, and we're still in discussions of it.
Yeah.
We just keep saying we need to make changes. We just don't know exactly. We need like a YouTube coach to come in.
Yeah, right.
And, like, sit us down in the locker room and be like, all right, what are you boys doing? Like,
Try this. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, the fourth quarter. Here's some plans. They got to get out, you know, pull out the chalkboard and start drawing X's and O's and lines, which things we can do. But,
yeah, I mean, I think the big picture thing is that we have become complacent with what we're doing. But if we want to grow, we have to change. You know, so we have seen growth, but the growth is slowing down. And so now it's like, okay, well, if we still want to grow, we need to do something different. And if we want this to become more of a revenue stream for us, then we need to do some different stuff.
Exactly.
And yeah, why not?
That doesn't mean that we're going to, everything's going to go the same way, just more. Right. I mean, obviously, the YouTube channel will still be here. The podcast will be here. But we'll just put more time, you know, a little bit more time into it, get more guests, do a couple more things to have a bit more content. And then also a big thing, adding more. I don't know if after show, some people don't. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't like it. I guess the people who don't pay don't like it.
Right. But an after show, like a podcast after show for Patreon members, you know, I think that's, and it's tough. I mean, it's the same reason why we didn't want to put ads in the middle of our videos, right? Mm. It's like, it's just something else that's getting in the way, you know, quote unquote, in the way of getting the content out to the viewer and the listener.
Right.
But for the people who want to support us, there's also a benefit to that too. You know, we want to offer them something, and you know, we tried to be pretty plain about Patreon in the beginning. And the reason why we never really did it for a while was because we knew that we didn't really have enough time to offer more than what we were doing.
Right.
So it was very clear with when we had people join Patreon, it was, hey, this is what we're doing. We are two brothers that have full-time jobs. We have families, and we want to be able to spend some time making videos for you the best we can do. And that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. If that's beneficial to you and you want to help support us, and the people who have supported us over the years, it's amazing. And it has like paid for new cameras and new equipment and tools and all sorts of stuff, which has made the channel better. And so, but we just didn't have the time to offer more. or we didn't want to make the extra time to offer more, right? Because we have other things, but we need to grow, and so we need to be able to make that time and put the extra effort in.
Right. And then, obviously, the idea is to pull people into Patreon or something like that.
Right.
But also give them access to a Slack or Discord channel. Give them, send everyone who signs up, whether they give us $2 or $10, send them something. Sticker pack. Yeah. Like, whatever. If it costs us $5, $10, just to ship it to you.
Right.
Just to know that we're like, we see you. Because that's another thing. People who leave Patreon, they like, there's an exiting poll thing that they do. And most of them are like, hey, I didn't hear from anyone. I didn't feel like I was getting much. And that's all true. We just, one, we don't really get like updates. I think we get emails when someone writes, but
it's weird.
We don't, that was the thing. We kind of said we're not going to ignore it, but we're like, hey, this is just kind of a thing. We'd love if you would help us.
Right.
We'd love if you want to help us, because we'll just spend it on gear. And that's exactly what we did. Like, the reason we have a 4K videos now, I don't know if people like it, I mean, care or not, but it's because of the patrons, and a lot of them paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we're there, so we need to offer people more.
Yeah.
So they get more, and we get more. So we could just do more of everything.
Yeah.
But we just need a little bit more cash inflow to get that going.
Right. One of the things that I've heard, I think it's Mareko Malmasi said he does with his patrons, is that he does like Q&A. I don't know if it's just like, I guess maybe it's videos, like live sessions with his patrons. And that would be awesome. Like, I'd love to do that. Like, that'd be cool. Like, do a monthly live, you know, with all the patrons, who's ever there. And they can ask us questions. We can chat and we can talk. Like, that would be super fun. You know, I'd be definitely down for that. Like you said, set up a Discord where we can all chat, and there can be like a constant flow of information there. That's anytime, you know, not just like monthly.
Right.
Yeah. And then figure out ways to offer more stuff. That's another thing, is like thinking of what we can do, what we can make, what we can, you know, like source to have additional revenue streams for the channel and for both of us.
Right, because, I mean, just if people think that a channel with over 100,000 subscribers gets a lot of money, it's just not true.
Right.
And especially if you have more than one person. I mean, you know, a couple hundred bucks to, you know, maybe a couple thousand, but that'd be like the extreme high end. It's not, it's definitely less than $1,000 a month. It's, you know, it's.
Yeah.
Especially then you start splitting it up, then everyone's only getting a couple $100 or $100. You know, it's not.
Right. Yeah, just ad revenue is not, sustaining.
To solely rely on YouTube and AdSense is not not a good plan.
No, it's a great addition. You know, it's a great thing that they do, that they offer that. And, you know, if you have a really big channel, you can make a couple $1,000 a month, or, you know, like 4, 5, 6, 7,000 bucks a month. And if your channel's doing really well, you know, like, you're not going to make the main revenue stream is not AdSense. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the super, super giant ones that are doing like multi-million videos every single time, and they're putting out videos, you know, multiple times a month. Well, then, yeah, like that, you know, that revenue stream from AdSense is going to pay your bills. But, you know, someone like, yeah, like Mr. Beast, or someone like, you know, Mark Rober or Whistlin' Diesel, you know, they're like making so much money because there's so many views, and so many views add up to so many ads on views and so much money.
Yeah. Even if you have,
a lot.
Your big videos might bring in $20 a month after, you know, after they've started, you know, it might be a year or two later, and that's great. That's a great thing. Yeah, so you do need a lot of videos to bring in, to make it add up, you know.
Right.
Some videos make $5 a month. Some, you know, if it's doing well, make $50 a month. But that all, that has to add and add up. Or if you can explode like Tyrone Knifeworks is.
Right.
I'm sure he got some nice cash in the last few months. Good for him.
Right, yeah. Good job. With like multiple with multiple videos doing multiple millions.
Yeah, so he probably got a good chunk right in, but that is just that will just push him to keep making. So anyway, right, so yeah, there's changes, and as you can tell, we're still like mulling it over. Like, should we do a video podcast? Should we?
Right.
Should we do this or that? It's
tricky. Like, but how much content is the right amount of content? You know,
right? Like, and there's, I think we both know, we work hard on the big videos.
Yeah.
And there's still a lot of time into just getting one out a month.
Right.
But there is, I think if we add another 10% each of like workload, we can put out a lot more stuff. That doesn't have to be the huge video. It can be stuff on, like I said, a Slack channel or a Discord channel, just where we can constantly talk to people.
Right.
Constantly talk to patrons, post pictures, post stuff. Or maybe it's open to everybody and patrons get something else. But, you know, I don't know. I think,
I will say, too, this semester, right, up through December and then next semester are my last two semesters with my online courses that I'm taking. So that's been, like, the last 3 years that I've been doing online courses. So that's, like, multiple nights a week where I just can't, I can't do anything because I have schoolwork assignments and stuff due.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have, so I'll be done in like March, April, May, something like that. So, you know, put us out like 5 or 6 months and then I'll be done that. So that'll, that will not, no longer be on my plate for evenings and weekends and stuff.
Right.
So, so that, you know, that's a big, it's a big pull. It's like, it's a lot of stuff to do to come home from a full day of work and then shoot videos for a couple hours, finish by 10, and then, you know, do I have like the stamina to then put like a few more hours of classwork in? No. Like, it's never gonna work. Like, I have to come home and work for 4 or 5 hours on classwork. Like, I can't work for 4 or 5 hours on a video and then classwork, right? It's just not, this is not happening. I'm just, I would die. I would get shingles like Brian House for like a fucking month.
He got poor shingles. Dude, man.
Yeah, he got shingles from stress, from just too much work, just too much stress.
No.
He had like the worst bout of shingles I've ever heard of. Like, weeks ago, I sent him a text and was just checking on him, see how he was doing. And he just like, he just recorded the Work For It podcast, which we'll talk about a little bit more. But he just back into it, you know, like this week. After like a serious, like a straight month of being completely out of it with shingles.
So that, that is some of the problem of the, his success. He's like, yes, this is going great. Working, let's keep going. Himself, like, let's bust it. Like, let's move. And I understand he just, but then there's so much with it. I mean, he's, but man, the stuff they're putting out is great.
Oh yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. So I was listening to Work For It this morning. I didn't actually get a chance to finish the whole video. But they had Dennis Tyrell on talking about Dennis and talking about the Fantasy Knife Challenge.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which we unfortunately had to bow out of just because of breaking the bow for our 100th video. That ended up taking us like twice as long to make that video, which then rolled over into our time, which we were going to work on the Fantasy Knife. And, so we didn't get to participate there, but they did do the Fantasy Knife Challenge and they had the winners and they talked about that. Brian did talk, but like before that, I was just listening to them talking about all sorts of fun stuff. And Brian was talking about the things that they've been working on, like, the Apollo Forge and the ribbon burner that he's been working on with, you know, in the shop. And then, you know, they're going to be putting out, the Revolution Grinder. They'll be doing full built grinders now. Not like right away, but soon, sometime in the next couple months, you'll be able to just like purchase a fully made grinder from them and you, they'll package it and ship it to you ready to go. So like they're moving into the full, you know, full belt grinders now as well, which is awesome. Just like being able to offer everywhere from the plan set for $25 to the full grinder for however much that's going to cost, you know, and then somewhere in between, like where you can buy the kit for $500 and you can build it yourself, you know? So it's just really cool that you have this, the way that he did it by first offering this set and then offering pieces and then offering kits and then offering like, and now offering the full thing, you know, as his business grew and as he was able to find people to do all this stuff for him and be able to offer this stuff with, you know, reasonable prices. It's just, it was a cool way to go about it. Cause most companies don't do that, right? They don't offer their plans for something that, you know, they offer the thing, you know, cause like, well, you don't want to tell people how to make it. Cause then they'll make it instead of buying it from you. But his whole thing was like, let me start off at the bottom and just offer these things up and start making some money that way. Okay, now I can offer the kits. Okay, now I can offer the whole thing. And, you know, and people love it, you know, because they love having that option to be able to do it themselves or or, you know, buy it pre-made.
Yeah, man.
Which is great.
So they announced on the Work For It podcast all the winners, all the
they did
the convoluted 10 different winners of 30 categories.
And so I will, you and I were talking before the podcast about this, and I listened, I listened far enough into the podcast before I just didn't have time because I was, you know, at work or coming home from work, to hear about the top winners of the main group of challengers, right? So the main 20, that's the main challenger group. Mm-hmm. I did not hear the winners of the judges, and the judges are the top five competitors from the previous challenge, the Dagger Challenge. So the top five winners moved on to the judges challengers. So I didn't hear those challengers. I did hear, they did say the winner between Brian House and Brian Cohn, which was funny. So I'll start off with that. So I am going to, this is like a little spoiler. So if you haven't listened to the Work For It podcast, head over there, listen to the Work For It podcast, and then come back and finish this episode.
Well, then they're like, well, now we know. We don't want to hear it again.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, whatever. but you got to send some love to Work For It. And also head over to Dennis Tyrell, Tyrell Knife Works on Instagram. I'm sorry, on Instagram and on YouTube. So you can see the challenger video, the reveal of the winners, which I haven't actually watched the whole thing. So we were talking beforehand. I was about to watch it, and you were like, well, why don't you hold on a second? You can watch it during the podcast, which is a little silly to watch a video during the podcast.
Well,
but,
I mean, you explain what, like, oh, this person got it, and this person, oh, they got a cool this type of knife.
Okay, sorry. I'll try to mute myself as I'm just coughing away from the mic in the future. So, first, the four competitors, or the four top competitors, which they revealed on the video, Dennis revealed, and also on Work For It podcast. So, I think it's, Pit Forging, PIT Forging. He got fourth place, and that was with, the kind of Wolverine gauntlet, things, which is pretty awesome. In third place was Eric Rivers from the Rivers Experience, and he had the World of Warcraft like sword, giant knife type thing with like the dragon's tail scales, which is awesome. Yeah. Shout out to Eric Rivers. He does the Knives Templars podcasts, with a bunch of other guys, and I'll actually be on their podcast again tomorrow night. So, I was on the podcast a couple weeks ago as a guest, and then now I'm kind of returning as like a guest host, you know, kind of because they have a bunch of hosts who kind of all fill in when they can. So
just tell them I will invoice you after the podcast.
Right, exactly. Expect my sponsorship spot to go up. yeah, so that was third place, Eric Rivers. He made the World of Warcraft knife. In second place was Trollski. We all know Trollski. He made a wild-looking kind of cool orc sword knife thing. And in first place was Nord Artisan, who's awesome. He's a small channel. I think he's got 15 or 16,000 followers subscribers. And he made the fucking coolest whip sword ever. Like, so it's a sword that, you know, when tightened and held rigid, is looks like a sword, but then as you slack it, it becomes a chain, basically a chain of sword parts. And just, I did watch the video. I don't know if I finished the video, but I was watching a bunch of it, and the way he kind of worked through his process of manufacture, of like engineering how this thing was going to work together, was really cool. Like, he just talked about the process and showed some stuff, and because, like, how do you make a sword that can be like segmented like a chain and spin around, but then also come back to tight? Like, how do you make that in real life? You know what I mean? That's a thing that happens in like video games and fantasy, because it's hard to do that. So he did get the first place with that whip sword video, which is really awesome. So congratulations. And the cool thing about the voting this time around is that for the main channels, the voting was done by the viewers, but also done by the judges. So where in the past the voting has always been completely by viewer voting, this point now is 50% of the overall weight of the final scores was based off of the viewers, and 50% was based off of the judges voting. So
I'm sorry, see, actually, Sorry, yeah. Can you hear me okay? Test.
Yep, I can hear you fine.
Sorry, I had to switch my headphones because I was sweating profusely with our earmuff ones.
So dang, it's warm in the house.
I know, I'm right next to the heater and the computer and the giant PC, so everything. Sorry, I just want to make sure I can hear. And the Dragon Whip and his video went
viral, right? Yeah, it's been 2 weeks, it's got a million views.
He's going to get like thousands, and he's going to double his number real quick, and then he'll be right up past us, and who knows.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, yeah, so he's, like I said, I think he still has like maybe 15,000 subscribers, something like that. So he's still a really small channel, but you know, it's a really awesome video. It just goes to show you that if you actually do put in the time and effort to make something that's pretty sensational or pretty interesting, like usually that's going to do pretty well. Like, especially fantasy stuff. People love fantasy stuff. The internet loves knives. It loves like katanas, and it loves fantasy swords and things like that. So if that's your avenue, then go ahead and do it, because people love it, and they will eat it up.
Yeah, because you don't have to be a someone interested in making knives,
right?
You just have fans of the lore, right? That's the thing. You're getting another group of people who just are fans of the thing, not how to make the thing. They just want to see the thing,
right?
But yeah, so yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Cool. Okay, so the next. And I'm actually watching the video now. So the next portion of winners is the judges. So there are five judges, the top five people from the first, from the Dagger Challenge. So the top five winners were Dennis Tyrell from Tyrell Knife Works, Ensik Ali, Heavy Forge, Ailey Knives, and Blackbeard Projects. So they were the top five winners. So they were in the judges challenge. So those top five, they got voted for, and I don't remember exactly how their positions were chosen, or was it just through the viewers? I'm not exactly sure. I think there were supposed to be some guest judges who were also judging them, as well as I think the rest of the competitors, the other 20, I think were also judging the top five, which is really nice, because when you have knife makers looking at your work and video content creators looking at your work, it's not just the build, but it's the quality of the video. And that's what they've said all along. That's what it should be, is that it's about the presentation. Because obviously we don't all have presses, and we don't have the capability to do, you know, like Mosaic Damascus and some crazy things, right? So those people obviously are going to have a step up in the end product, you know, based off of what they have, the tooling that they have. But it really should be about you know, how you present it and then what you do. So then you have judges that actually all do the same type of thing. They all know what knives are supposed to look like and how they work, and they can appreciate some things differently from the viewers. So the judges, let's see. So the top five judges, in third place was Heavy Forge and Blackbeard Projects, evenly tied for third place. Blackbeard had a twisted, like a tri-twisted dagger.
Yeah, that's cool.
And Heavy Forge, one second. Where is it? Heavy Forge had like a cool big ass Damascus Bowie knife. Second place was Ailey Knives, and he had this like awesome sword with like some cutouts and stuff in it. And in first place in the judges challenge was Dennis Tyrell of Tyrell Knife Works again. Top video, top winner challenge again, Dennis Tyrell. Yeah. But yeah, he made it like a real cool, like slick, shark. There you go, shark dagger sword thing, right? So it has like this cool blue like tiger maple handle, and then a shark fin on the like at the guard of the, or the bolster area, and then a fin below it. So your whole guard is made out of like a fin on top and fin on the bottom, and then the whole pommel is a long like tail fin, and then the whole like top of the knife has like these kind of scales cut into it, and it's curved and stuff, and it's really cool. You know, it's an awesome sword. It's a really cool fantasy knife. So he did a great job. So There you go. Winner, still undefeated champion, Dennis Tyrell. Yeah, so.
He makes good stuff. And what was his quote? His advice you give to someone.
And hold on, let me back up 1 second. So I'm watching. I want to back up. So the last category is the.
Do something different every project.
The viewers challenge. So there were, the same way that we did during the dagger challenge, there was a viewer challenge. So viewers could create their own videos and compete amongst each other. I think there were 19 viewer challengers, and so these are the viewer winners as well. So in third place is Benjamin Angeloni. He did a really awesome kind of dragon scaly like saw blade across the back of a big Bowie knife type thing with like a cool brass guard and blue handle. In second place was Bobcat Forge. And he has, again, like a big Bowie with a cool, like, patterned Sanmai Damascus with a figured wood handle and a real kind of cool curly guard. And in first place for the challenge was Matt Smith. And Matt created, this is crazy looking, like a cool dragony sword with like all sorts of almost like bone, like a dragon skeleton looking type thing. But if you made a dragon skeleton, it was pretty crazy. So, hold on 1 second. All right. Okay. Let's see. All right. Looks like we had a little bit of technical difficulties, but I think we're back up and running. I was finishing up the viewer challenge winners, and I'm just going to run through those names one more time just in case. That's, again, Benjamin Angeloni, Bobcat Forge, and lastly, in first place, was Matt Smith with this like cool bone dragon-looking sword, fantasy sword knife thing. It was awesome. So,
oh, yeah, that thing is wild.
Yeah, those are crazy. So congratulations to all the winners from the different brackets of the challenge, especially to those viewers who just kind of went, you know, above and beyond and tried to make something kind of cool and participate in something that, you know, they didn't have to. Obviously, none of us have to, but, you know, the benefit is just to try your hand at something and see what you can do. So they did some really awesome work and showed what you can do. So congratulations to all of them. It was awesome. It was fun listening to those guys chat about it on the Work For It podcast. So if you want to hear them talk a little bit about more about it and the new challenge, I think that will be going on, which I didn't hear that, but I think they were talking about releasing about that part. So if you want to hear Chopper. About the new challenge, Chopper.
Yeah, okay. It's at the end of the video.
Gotcha. Okay, nice. So Chopper, that's kind of cool. I like that. I wonder if you have to do like a Chopper test with it. I like a Chopper. That's cool. Because that's just like a big, heavy, purpose-built, you know? Like, and the Chopper is like purpose-built, right? A Chopper is designed to chop and cut well. So, like, if you're not familiar with cutting tests, they do this competition, a Chopper competition, basically where you're creating a knife and it has to, like, cut through a rope and then cut through a couple 2x4s and then cut through, you know, a reed stalk, and then has to cut through a paper. It's like you're doing this like one thing after another after another after another, and then at the end it still has to like shave hairs or something. So it's about you know, creating a tool that can do this thing, but also knowing the metallurgy to create a knife that can hold an edge throughout all of these kind of torture tests. So, right.
Cool.
So we'll have to look into that and see what the challenge is, and you know, see what they're doing, because it'd be kind of interesting if it was something like where they had to do a you know, like a torture test. Everyone had to do like the same test at the end and film it or whatever. It'd be kind of cool. So I'm not sure, but we'll see. But yeah, check out Work For Podcast. Head over to all of the competitors' videos. Check them out. They all did a really awesome job. There were a bunch of them that obviously we didn't talk about, but there were a ton of other competitors who did some really awesome stuff. So, and I've watched a bunch of those videos, so check them out. They're cool, man. Speaking of Work For It podcast, Brian Cohn was talking about some cool material that he has. He's been kind of sourcing this carbon fiber material from a manufacturer, a place that he gets it from, and he just put up a little giveaway and announcement about these handle kind of liners, 3/16 carbon fiber liner material that he has for sale on his website. They're $10 for a pair. So I actually bought a couple pairs. If you go over to his Instagram, you can see that he's offering up. He just says, like, you know, $10 plus shipping for the pair. But anyone who comments within that post, it also in like 2 days, he'll do a live stream and he will offer one up for free from one person who commented. So I commented, but then I headed over to his website and got a couple pairs. And then after doing that, he and I were chatting back and forth a little bit, and we talked about a possible collaboration between the two channels. So I'm not going to go into it too much right now, because we might keep it for a little bit of kind of a secret thing that we might talk about later, or we'll see how we open up that. But there will be a collaboration between Brian Cohn's YouTube channel and our YouTube channel in the future. And Devin does know about that, because I literally just talked to Brian about it before we recorded the podcast. So that was like hot off the press. It's literally hot off the press. You know, we're just chatting.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but it'd be cool. And it's funny, because he knows that we're kind of selective about the videos we do. So, you know, he obviously wasn't going to be offended if I didn't want to do a collaboration. And that was like, I was like, oh man, like, I absolutely love collaborations. You know, like, if we could do collaborations with people, that's great. You know, like, anytime, you know, we can do something, it's more of like a time frame thing and like deadline thing. That's what's harder for us to do. And obviously we want to keep variety in our channel. We are kind of not picky, but we want to keep some variety in the channel, because we want to offer a lot of different things and not just, you know, one avenue of content. So
no, yeah. Collab with one other person isn't a rush. It's just,
no, right. Exactly.
Hey man, we'll both do it and then kind of put it out when we're both done. Like, all
right. Yeah. Right. And it's a great way to like, just be a part of the community. Like, I love collaborations. So Brian, we're very excited to do it.
I don't even know what it is. So
he's not excited.
I'm not excited.
Yeah. We were kind of discussing one part of the collaboration, but we'll see. Maybe we'll talk more about it in the future, but maybe that'll be on an after show or something in the future. If you want to hear that secret stuff, you become a Patreon member.
Yeah. So, we'll yeah, we've been shooting, actually.
Oh, yeah.
We've been shooting, but I want to talk about two things that I watched recently.
Okay. Yeah, because we were together and you almost started talking about it. You're like, well, maybe I'll wait and talk about that on the podcast. Like, well, okay. Yeah. Oh, something secret. All right.
Let me find the exact title. Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's Jesse Combs, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The fastest one on Earth.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I couldn't think of the title of the HBO
something
show,
like that.
But
yeah,
the fastest woman on Earth. It is hard to watch.
Ah, gotcha.
I think for people who knew her closely and intimately, right, it's probably a nice thing, because it obviously celebrates her for all the stuff she's done and all the great racing things she's done as a woman and just as a person, such a badass person in general she was, that was a, you know, like a host and a talent, as well as just like a wild person.
Right.
But the way they space it out is throughout the whole movie, they're showing clips of her in this car that, for people who don't know, she passed away in trying to set, which she did set, a land speed record for a woman on the salt flats in Bonneville.
Right.
In a crash that ended her life. So the whole time during the movie, you're waiting for it to happen. So there's this uneasiness, because each time it's crazy. I mean, she's in a jet car going 300-500 miles per hour.
Jeez.
And then at the end, when they show, I mean, you get the GoPro footage from over her shoulder. Mm. And then when she starts to crash, the GoPro flies away with the windscreen, And with right. the, you know, with the jet, with the top. So you don't mm-hmm. see, you don't actually see her. But I mean, you see right. her going, earlier in the movie, there is one time when the brakes fail. And she right. makes it within feet of this. There's a bunch of bushes bushes and yeah. shrubs at the end of one right. side after like 10 miles. You hit some stuff that's not just salt flats. So if you don't stop in time, you hit these things and you
right.
flip and roll and probably don't make it. So that happens early on and everyone's like, you see her mom there like freaking out like, oh my God, you almost died. And she's like, that was scary as shit. And you like,
right.
you can see everyone freaking out a little bit. So yeah. knowing that it's actually going to happen at the end yeah. of this movie and you're going to see footage of it and you're going to see everyone react to it. It's really rough.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, for me, I just don't like, I don't like those type of videos anyway. They've always affected me a lot. Like,
right. Yeah.
Oh, this person gets hit by a car. Some people are like, whoa, did you see that? You know? And I was always yeah. like, I can't watch it.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It'll affect me all day. Like,
yeah.
I don't like the faces of death stuff. I don't like seeing people right. get, if they get hurt, and then that's fine. As long as they live, I can probably watch it.
Right.
But when people, I know, it sounds like, I mean, they interviewed her whole family and everybody, so they obviously had HBO's blessing. Right. And they obviously gave this footage to them. But it's like, it's rough. Because you see her, right. I mean, she does everything right, but you, all of a sudden, there's this huge vibration when she's going 540 miles per hour.
Yeah.
Start shaking. All the cameras start shaking. You see her trying to hit everything to turn it off, and they're yelling, like, Jesse, slow down, stop, Jesse, like, cut it, and they're freaking right. out. And I think the last thing she says is just like, yeah, copy. Like, she's obviously going through
right.
everything, and you can see how fast she's going, like, over her shoulder towards these shrubs and things, and then she hits, and you see dirt and dust, and then the camera flies.
Yeah.
And then they all run, and, you know, it's on fire. I think they said, you know, it was such a huge impact that she probably died right away.
Right.
So at least there's that, you know, she was obviously scared for 30 seconds, you know, obviously yeah, right. trying to get yeah. it done. And then hopefully it was just a quick thing. And, there's some other things, but so I think it's worth seeing.
Right.
But it is tough. It is really tough.
Yeah. Like,
it kind of sat with me, and it still is. It just,
yeah, right.
Especially, I don't know. I'd seen her on TV. I never knew her, but you kind of knew of her, and she was on Mythbusters and all this other stuff. And then,
right.
And then last year, you bought two of the bandanas from some of the people who they sell her
yeah, like, from the Jesse Combs Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were selling those at one of the Maker camps. So and that yep. was another connection.
Yeah.
I was
like, yeah. They had the raffle this year with a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like, I guess we're not near it, but we're like adjacent to some
yeah,
stuff.
Peripheral.
She's, yeah, right. some people she knew, and so I mean, if they like it and they get some closure out of it,
right?
I think it's a good thing because I don't think HBO set out to be, what would you call it,
sensational or
yes, yeah, like to sensationalize yeah. or to make some right. money off of someone's death,
right? Right.
But it is it's tough because they show pretty much all the footage. Like someone's yeah. death. You're seeing the last 5 seconds before right. they fly into these bushes and she, you know, flips and catches fire. But
yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. So I don't know if that's my recommendation to watch.
But, right.
I just wanted to talk about that yeah. a little bit. It was so wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, you think about what we do, what we put out here in the world for people's enjoyment. And, you know, I think something like that, you know, that's a tough thing. Like you said, you know, obviously they have the family's blessing to put it out there, but it's a pretty sensational thing. And you're benefiting from the sensationality of someone's death.
Right. I mean, that's what, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. It may, I don't know if it made me feel better, but then I was thinking as I'm it affects me, but
right.
Not only do people die all the time, but we have so many shows about murder and people right. getting raped and killed, and there's 1,000 of those shows on Netflix,
right?
You know, yeah. of people dying horrifically, and she died less horrifically. She died right. doing something she knew. She loved yeah. it because it was something on the edge.
Yeah.
That's why they love it. Because it's right. so close to the edge. It's exciting, right?
Yeah.
And they're just, they're wild people who love doing this stuff. And they know at any minute, it's like riding a motorcycle fast. And you feel, you hit a bump, you know, and you're like, ooh, but you get like a rush out of it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
oh man, I was.
That, yeah, that adrenaline.
Been, yeah, right. That could have been something. Yeah. So, and she died, and then I think she did set the record.
Yep, she did.
Well, you know, yeah, on that so final run.
Posthumously given so, the, yeah, the fastest woman alive. Yeah,
I mean,
or ever.
There, I guess there are worse ways for her to go out. But it's right. tough. It's tough. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was one I watched late at night. Crazy. I had to watch Seinfeld after because I was so like in a funk.
Yeah, right.
I was like, oh, it just hurt my, like, you and you know it's coming. It's just, it was a tough one. But right. if everything else, they do celebrate her, so it's a...
Right, yeah.
It's really well done, I guess. Yeah,
do they talk about the Jesse Combs Foundation?
Yeah, HBO special? Yeah, okay. Yeah, because right. they already have... I mean, they've sponsored a bunch of women to have classes, and they're constantly right. giving money to help different types of people learn these skills. And it is a great, I mean, the movie goes through her starting up and how she did it and her family and life. And it's really well done, but
yeah.
the threat of her going to die at the end and watching different attempts was tough.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah. I hear you. I know, like I said, Jimmy was talking about that the HBO special as well, I think on the Making It podcast recently, and just talking, he was saying how like he actually had Jesse at his house a couple times, and once was the summer before she passed away, and she was like at his house at the farm up in, you know, eastern New York, and he was asking her about that, like about the danger. I forget exactly how he said it, but it's just kind of interesting hearing him talking about it. And then, you know, it was like a month later she died in the accident. So you know, you can listen to the Making It podcast, the most recent one, he talks about it a little bit. But it's just, you know, like you said, it's not someone who's directly connected to us, but it's someone who's within the community, and that's a weird, like, kind of peripheral relationship to have. And, you know, kind of understand he a little bit like more intimately, I guess.
He watched it?
The documentary, yeah.
Oof.
He did, yeah.
I don't know if I could have... I mean, right, it's obviously it's personal. Like I said, I think it's probably closure for some people to right. know what happened. And I think they bring that up in the movie. They bring it up saying, like, they wanted to watch it. Because, I mean, you're not seeing blood and you're not seeing her scream or anything. You're just seeing her
right.
trying to shut it down and slow it down somehow.
Right.
And then she flies and there's dirt and the camera flies, you know, it's, but, I think that's probably closure for some people to
yeah.
go like, well, she was just there. She was trying to, she did everything she had to do. You know, she was just trying to get it done.
Right.
And just, it failed. It hit, something, the front wheel hit like a rock that was under the dirt.
So oh, jeez.
It just, the wheel failed once it hit something going that fast. And so it just,
right.
it screwed everything up. So the normal mechanics of it just wasn't working and it wasn't stopping. But
right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
crazy.
How it goes. So yeah, from one tough movie to another.
Okay. Wonderful.
Which is fictional. All Quiet on the Western Front.
Oh man. Classic.
Done by a German director, apparently for the first time. Because for those who don't know, it's World War One from the point of view of a German guy. And it's pretty horrific.
Like, is this a new version?
Yeah, new version. So oh, Netflix.
Wow. Oh, okay.
So I know of the book. I may have read it. I don't know. But right. I knew what the story was about. And This is the first one ever, I think it was recently done, because it just came out on Netflix, so. Yeah, that was tough, too. Brutal. Brutal war, that World War One.
Yeah, jeez, you're not kidding.
But, it goes from young kids being excited to, hey, we're going to, we're doing this thing for our country. Yeah, here we go, to it just, brutal trench warfare. Where nobody wins. Dustin doesn't want to hear it. He has to.
Sorry.
He's like, oh, that's enough. I'm getting sad. He has to lay down and.
No, my laptop would just told me it was like running low on battery. I'm like, what? It's plugged in, and I realized it wasn't plugged in. So I was like on the floor trying. All right, here we go. Part three.
It did die.
It did die. Yeah.
My battery was gonna die now.
And it died. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, I was like on the floor plugging it into the wall. I just didn't realize that it had also unplugged at the same time from the inverter base. So
I just depressed shit out of the computer and it killed itself.
I was like, I can't take it anymore. It unplugged from the wall. It unplugged from its base. I'm done.
Jumped into a bathtub.
All right. So the second. Oh, yeah. So All Quiet on the Western Front. Right. You watched that one. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah. Ooh, wild. Yeah. Wild stuff.
Watch some Seinfeld after that one as well.
Yeah, had to bring it down. But at least that, it's just, you start getting too bummed out. I mean, it's a real thing, but these are just actors. Don't get attached to the actors.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I do that sometimes if a movie really starts to affect me, and I think it's too much. I'm like, take it easy.
Yeah.
And so what I do is I start to think about how it's being made a little bit more.
Right.
I just go into like, oh, this is a cool shot. I wonder how they lit this. Like, you just start to analyze it as a piece of work, as a technical thing other than.
Right. I was watching the new trailer for the newest Avatar movie that's coming out in December. It looks pretty cool. And then I was on Instagram and there was a post about the thing. So I was watching that and then I wasn't really paying attention. So my phone just autoplayed to the next video, which was someone talking about like 10 cool things about the new Avatar movies. So I ended up watching that as well. And there's like 6 movies coming out from Avatar, from James Cameron. Like, it's a whole crazy long series, and
it's ridiculous.
There's a bunch of like cool actors that are going to be in it. The guy who played the main antagonist, the main bad guy, the military, dude, like, he's coming back. He's getting regenerated. His like consciousness is regenerated into one of the Na'vi. And but James Cameron was saying like how much he loves that actor. Like, he just plays that role so well. And that kind of reminds me of that, right? That you can appreciate someone's acting even when they're in a situation, they're designed, the character's designed to make you hate them. The bad guy, right? So, like, but someone plays that role so well. It's like, one that always, like, really pisses me off is the antagonist from The Patriot. The Mel Gibson movie. that guy who's just like, he is the worst. Like, he's just a horrible human being, and he plays it so well. And that's the same actor that plays Lucius Malfoy from the Harry Potter movies. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just such a great bad guy, he does such a great job. So, yeah. Think about it in that way. Appreciate their ability as actors, to portray that and really make you really want to hate them. It's crazy.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, All Quiet on the Western, you're rooting for these guys.
Right.
That are on the opposite side of what our country was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I actually, in the movie, I don't know if it's this in the book, they're mainly fighting the French.
Ah, okay.
So,
Yeah, yeah.
It's a few French guys died, The Brits, I feel a little bit worse for than obviously the Americans. You don't want to see them die,
right? Yeah,
but obviously something that's that terrible. I mean, the Germans. Everybody was wrong. It was just a terrible thing altogether. No one was necessarily the baddies. It was just the stupid situation that got them in this thing.
Right?
It's just a bunch of normal people going back and forth fighting over a few miles. Over, what was it, 4 years, not making any ground, just one person getting massacred, pushing a line back,
and
then coming back and the other side getting massacred, just back and forth.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, and then there's a great scene in it, though, that shows the terror of the first time they see tanks. Because World War One is where they kind of invented the tank.
Yeah, right.
And just they hear it, you know, and it starts rumbling, and you see these giant metal machines.
Oh, jeez.
Creeping towards their lines, you know?
Yeah, they're like, what do we do now? Like,
you can't. Yeah, and they all start shooting at it. It doesn't do anything. I think eventually they do take them down. And the main thing in World War One is they are so impossibly slow.
Right.
I mean, they're great to break the line once, but once you're through, I mean, someone can run up and start dropping grenades in you. I mean, you have a lot of defense. There's some machine guns on the side and stuff, but you're like 3 miles per hour.
Yeah.
So you will get taken down, and then you're just in a death trap. But to see it, nothing can stop it.
Right.
Coming towards your line.
A juggernaut. Towards
the trenches. But once you're through, it's like, what do you do? And then obviously you have this 10-ton machine getting, and it's all mud. Everything's mud. There's no grass left. It's all just mud and muck. It's World War One, you know.
Right, yeah.
It's been bombed to hell. So they end up getting stuck in these holes. People just run up and throw grenades in on you.
Ooh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy stuff. Jeez. Yeah, it's like, you think of the, I don't know if you call it like the glory, like the glorified, like soldier, you know, the battle and the strength and the fortitude to do these things. But then like when you're in, like, and you see, or you know about the grit and the horror and the, like, just the crazy, like psychotic takeover of your adrenaline that makes you like defend yourself from life or death, you know, like, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. I was never a soldier, you know, like that's not anything that I could ever do. It's hard. It takes a toll on me. Like same as you, just seeing something like that happen. Like, you know, same thing. I never like could watch like fight videos or things that like my friends in high school would be like, oh, watch this crazy thing. Like you said, like the Faces of Death, all this like weird shows that sensationalize this like real life horrific things happening. And it's just like, I can't take it. My body can't take it. You know, and I watch and read all sorts of fun post-apocalyptic things and always think of like what would happen if we were in that situation. But you know, you never think about being in the moment of like,
having to do something horrific. You don't actually want to see half your family die.
Right. Exactly. So
that's how most every story goes. Almost everyone you love gets wiped out.
Yep.
And then you start to rebuild. So you're destroyed as a human. Oh, and then you get to do the fun part of building a fort.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. Everyone dies, and you're all alone by yourself, and you have to rebuild the civilization. And,
right.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Okay, so we jump from that to a very peaceful activity that we did.
Yes. Yeah, we're all over the place today.
That you and our brother Derek did.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, and I just posted about it on Instagram last night. So
the photo, yeah.
Yeah, that awesome photo of the moment. And and you know, I said in the post, I was like, either this is a good moment or a bad moment, but you know, something's happening here. Derek's hands are off of the rock balancing tower that he just made and, you know, worked on, and I'm sitting back and I'm like, this crazy expression. It was great. What a great moment captured.
We wanted to do a video with our brother Derek. You probably heard, you know, of him. If you know this podcast, he's obviously on the Every Brothers podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He does rock balancing as a hobby, and mostly now that's his Instagram. He does really great stuff, and
yeah,
he just loves doing it, and he takes really nice pictures of it and puts them on Instagram and stuff. And
a
few of his things blew up, and I was like, oh, this is great. I was like, we need to like make a video. If there's any help we can give him,
to
do it. Like, let's try to make a video with him. I thought we would help him much or anything. I think we had thought about it before too. Just we wanted to do more things out in the woods anyway.
Yeah, right.
And this was a perfect chance to, let's just go out with Derek and let him give us some tips and tricks.
Yeah.
On his side. And you would hit, and you and him would just go out and do it, and we'd record it.
Yeah. So yeah, it was great. And that, you know, that's what we did. Yeah, we thought about like when to do it. You know, we were like, where are we gonna go? And I kind of came up with a place kind of last minute. Like I knew it was gonna be somewhere up around us. And we have all sorts of little streams and rivers and things all around Maryland, which you obviously don't have to be in a stream or a river to rock balance, but a lot of times it gives you like a good setting, and there's something about with like the water and the stones and, you know, kind of using that to work together. So looking for a little stream, we found one close by behind a friend's house, which actually turned out being perfect. It was like exactly the right, like, you know, the stream was like 6 feet wide and maybe a foot deep, you know, a foot and a half deep at the deepest, with the part we were in, and it had cool waterfalls behind it and just like in the woods in this little valley. And it was a perfect little spot. Tons of good rocks around to balance with, and a good spot where he and I could both set up together. So you could shoot mostly on tripod just in front of us, right? Because the whole idea of rock balancing is that you're like taking this time and just focusing and trying to put together a stack of balanced rocks that work in harmony with each other, but also, you know, they have to, like, one of the cool things that he talked about is that what he usually will try to do is he'll have a stack that everything has to be together for it to stand up. So each rock will not balance until the top rock is put on. And then that rock, you know, creates the full like solid effect. Which is really cool. And I did my best to kind of do that and keep that in mind. Although mine, you know, after four or five rocks, I kind of had the stack kind of standing, and then I was able to let go and get a few more rocks and kind of keep building. So mine was not like that, but Derek's was, and it was really cool watching him do that. And just seeing like how all of the rocks were basically shifting the whole time while he was like doing it. I'm like, how do you even do that? You know, like he kept kind of pushing down on it and everything would shift and move. And then you would see like at a moment where he would push down on the like second to last rock and the whole stack would just stop shifting. Right. They all locked together. And so you knew like right exactly where you needed the weight to stay on top and push down with just enough weight to hold the whole thing together. And then so Derek could have taken any like big rock and just put it right on that spot, a big flat rock, and it would have been fine. But his thing is that he wants to do this top piece that is like, it's the like cake topper on a wedding cake, right? It's this big presentation piece. So you don't want to just put any rock on top. You want it to be the cool presentation rock. So he usually like will like try to find that first, and then it's, you know, try to stand it up in a way that it doesn't naturally look like it wants to stand. So once he got that last rock on and everything just locked together, and he actually caught it. It was great too. And I don't want to give too much away, but you know, whatever, it's okay. People are listening. They're listening. They get a little bit of a little taste of what's going on. but like he caught it. He was like, oh, here it is. It's going to stay. Like he said it. Mm-hmm. And then it was like within 10 seconds or 15 seconds. Like he had felt it, right. He knew he was just just a breath away from being able to let go. And then he let go and everything stayed up, and it was cool. It was really cool. Like it was just a cool moment. And you know, I was a fun video to make, and just hanging out in the woods with my brothers and playing in the stream and balancing rocks like we've done our whole entire lives, you know, in different ways, you know. So it's like, it doesn't get much better than that, you know. We just missing Drew.
Yeah.
But
it was really awesome. Nice. I enjoyed just kind of hanging out watching. I do wish I could have been participating.
Right.
That was the one thing. I was like, man, I'm gonna jump in. Well, not so much with the cold water, because the water was, I mean, it's, you know, it's November.
It was very cold. Very cold.
So water. Yeah, Derek took his shoes off to just get in, and he likes to do the whole connect to the ground thing to be one and feel whatever and do that. And Dustin was like, well, I guess I'll do it. You're doing it, I'll do it. So Dustin, so they're both, their feet are in this really cold water. But, you know. How are your feet now? They feel good?
Oh, yeah, they're fine. Yeah, no, it definitely took some time for them to warm up. And like, or I guess not really warm up, but to like the full feeling to come back into them. And, you know, like once you get like pins and needles, you know, when you lose feeling in your feet. So like for a while they felt like warm and, you know, spiky. And but yeah, they were fine. It wasn't frostbite. It wasn't that cold, but it was definitely
right.
It was cold. You know, and like any time you get into cold water, it was only cold for the first, you know, 5-10 seconds, like when you put your feet in. Then it's cold, but you get used to it, right? It's like, okay. And you're just sitting there on the edge and your feet are in the water. But it was cool.
And, you know,
it was really cool.
I had a couple ideas and we brought the drone and I was going to get all these different shots, but I was enjoying watching.
Right.
I think there's something to be said for just sitting and watching. You can't speed it up and make rock bouncing exciting.
Right.
The point is that it's this slow thing and you guys are just talking. And I was thinking, I was like, man, this, I told Derek, I was like, you should have guests on.
Yeah.
And
right.
You should, like, I was thinking, like, comedians and cars getting coffee.
Right. Yeah.
It's just you talking to interesting people while rock balancing.
Yeah.
Because I really liked the addition of an extra person in a rock balancing video.
Right.
Because it's just two people chatting. And if it's a newer person at it, Derek's kind of giving tips and. It's like any of those videos, someone making food for someone or doing this. I mean, the people know how to do it, but they're also getting extra tips of, maybe use that one, and, oh, you're trying to feel for that. So he's chatting with them about that, and then you just talk about life and whatever. Like, it would make a great, like, 30-minute show. Or like
right.
I was thinking even, like, a podcast, even though you can't. It'd have to be always a video podcast.
Right, yeah.
Be like, hey, we're here with blah, blah, blah. We're, welcome. Hey, how you doing, man? And then we got a stack of rocks here, and then you just go.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, and you have the whole thing. You have, half an hour, 45 minutes of people chatting and bouncing.
Yeah. And it was funny because he did say afterward that it was definitely a different type of mindset to be talking and interacting with someone while he's doing it. You know, because usually he's like completely in the moment. And I definitely locked into the moment multiple times where, like, you get that kind of, like, everything else is gone and you're just in this one thing, doing this one thing. You lose kind of focus and you lose time and you kind of zone into what you're doing. And had that feeling right a couple times throughout it. And so that's definitely important when you're right in that moment of trying to get everything to hold. You need that complete focus. And so, like, chatting throughout that, obviously we did it, you know, it was fine and it worked out fine, but it was definitely a different, I can't remember if he said he felt like he may have been able to get it sooner, but it was like, you know, kind of like not being 100% focused and like talking and, you know, thinking about things outside of just the balancing. So.
Yeah. It's like you can almost do like a Hot Ones show.
Yeah, right.
So they are distracted as you ask them questions, you know?
Like, right, yeah.
Something that just distracts them enough to make it interesting.
Right, well, that's the thing, too. You know, he said there have been times where, you know, he'll complete a stack in, like, 5 minutes. You know, he'll complete a balance in just a few minutes, and then there's other times where it'll take him, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes, that, you know, to get it to work. So,
yeah.
So, I would, you know, maybe you know, adding that additional conversation can draw it out a little bit longer.
Yeah. So you do like a 30-minute timer.
Yeah,
like,
right.
We're going to have a thing. We're going to have this. All right, welcome. Here we go. And then you just, at the end of 30 minutes, you have to stop no matter what.
Right. Yeah. That is. We didn't get it today. Yeah, right. Or at that moment, you know, he takes like the big easy rock and just puts it on top and it just stands up. Like, okay. Yeah, it takes the one he's trying to balance.
I didn't make it today.
You know, yeah, trying to balance up on its side and he just puts it down on its flat and just like, okay, that works.
Yeah, it'd be sweet.
Yeah. But that was kind of fun, like being in that situation and knowing that, you know, the length of the video, or at least how long we were going to sit there, was based off of how long it took Derek to finish it.
Yeah.
You know, because I finished mine probably, I don't know, 5 minutes before he finished his. Right. And mine was much, you know, it was much easier. It was a beginner stack, right? It was kind of a large to small. There were a few times where I tried to put some big ones in and move them in and out. And I had some big things and I had some tall, like kind of some, like my very last one was like a maybe 3-inch or 3.5-inch tall by 2-inch wide by like a 1/4-inch thick rock. So kind of like a good, almost like a good skipping stone rock. And I got it to stand up on its side, you know, balance up on its side, which is really cool. You like up on like a tip, you know, instead of laying flat. So that was kind of fun to do that the last minute, you know, adjust it, keep adjusting it and like holding the rocks below it until you can let it go and everything holds on. So, But I finished a few minutes before him, and then just sitting there, we're like, okay, we're just going to hang out and watch and talk and see what happens. And then he finished. It was really cool.
Yeah. So, editing it now, it might be out Sunday. I don't know.
Nice.
But it'll be cool. I don't know, maybe it'll be like 20, 30 minutes long. I don't know.
Nice.
Right. But, on. Yeah.
Yeah. But you guys can head over and check out Derek's channel. So his channel on YouTube is now, changed from Man versus Matrix, what it has been in the past, what we've talked about. Now it's Magi, M-A-G-I. He's got a cool intro cause he just, he put up kind of an ASMR kind of half an hour, repeat of just the rock balanced stack sitting there within the, like the stream and the waterfall behind it. So it's kind of just like a meditative video. He put it up, but, you can check him out. And in the beginning of the video, it's kind of, he's has a cool entrance, or a cool like intro that has the word Magi and then like the word imagination kind of pops up around it with Magi in the middle, and then it like fades out, and then the word magic kind of pops up too. So it's like, mm-hmm. there's some fun different elements of what he's doing. So, cool. You know, he's always been a little out there. So you gotta love his point of view on life and stuff. So check it out. It's cool. So you can check out his channel and see that there, and then also follow him on Instagram. It's just Derek_O'Hara on Instagram. You can see all the other rock balancing stuff he's done. It's cool.
Recommendations.
Yeah. I have a really cool one this week. This is somebody who I found recently, and I don't think I'm like looking back at our recommendations recently. I don't think I recommended him. If I did, it's just because he's really cool. But, it's a guy named Jesse Cunningham. And he describes himself as an aspiring Canadian craftsman living in Japan, process work and musings. And his Instagram is Jesse in Kyushu. So it's JesseInKyushu. And I'll put it obviously in the notes, in the show notes, so you can find it there. But Jesse in Kyushu, he does really beautiful Japanese inspired knives, doing these like great Japanese knives and all sorts of different, like different shapes and things, knives. And, but then he also like shows process and very like traditional things and just beautiful pictures of Japan. That's got to be in the top like three of destinations for me to go in the world.
Oh yeah.
It's incredible. I mean, like if someone told me that I could only go one place ever again in like to only ever like only one place, it might have to be Japan, you know, just because of just the incredible culture and art and craftsmanship and landscape and just the other aspect of what it is as well. It's so different than Western culture, you know. It's just like, oh, I don't know.
You can appreciate the genius while you're there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, right. Really, exactly.
Or not the genius, whatever the quote was. Already, was it genius? Yeah. No,
I said what I said, the other or whatever. Are you talking about the quote from earlier?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I forget the
greatness.
So yeah,
greatness. But yeah, nice. Yeah. Now, yeah. What's the title?
His name is Jesse Cunningham, and his Instagram is Jesse in Kyushu.
How does he describe himself?
As an aspiring Canadian craftsman living in Japan.
Okay.
Yeah.
At first it sounded like an aspiring Canadian.
He's trying to be Canadian, but he's living in Japan.
Say, which one is it? What do you want to be?
Aspiring Canadian craftsman living in Japan. Yeah, I don't know how exactly it popped up in my feed, but you know, it's one of those recommended things. It just kind of popped up, and so I checked it out, and I'm trying to decide if I want to follow someone. You know, I kind of go into their thing and I look back through some of their posts, and it was like every post is just cool. Like, and there's just a really cool mystique about like the tradition of Japanese cutlery, and how different the perspective on making things is in Japan. Like the speed at which they make things, like everything is slow. Everything is like contemplative, and they take their time, and they really like quality, and you know, just this like tradition is so built into what they do that it's just so like fascinating to me. So
what we need is a GoFundMe or Patreon The Art of Craftsmanship goes to Japan.
Oh, man.
And then we'll go to some factories. We'll go to some craftsmen. And we will just have a week-long trip and
see
makers in Japan. I'm sure we could hook up with some makers there, too. Some
people some content people and some, oh, my gosh, that would be so awesome. Yeah, there's just, I mean, one of my favorite YouTube channels of all time is Ishitani Furniture. Just this amazing Japanese furniture woodworker. And he's a young guy. He's working in a modern shop, but he's got that sensibility, this Japanese sensibility to creating things. It's just like beautiful. It's just like there's a quietness and a contemplativeness and this level of craftsmanship that's just so amazing that it's so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
man. All right, mine is a simple one. It's called OBS Studio. It's for capturing your computer screen. So anyone out there trying to make videos and trying to pull video or show something on your screen, like, hey, if you, as you're talking about your website or you're talking about something you want to show people, you can record exactly what your monitor or your computer is showing, and it's super simple. Like, once you get it set up, and it only takes like 5 minutes to get set up, you like pick what resolution you want and what your monitor runs at. And once it's there, there's just one button there's a lot of buttons, but there's a button in the bottom corner that says start record.
Oh, nice.
And you just, I mean, the program's open in 10 seconds. You hit start record.
It's an online, or you download it?
No, you download it, but it's free. Okay. It's free software. So
nice. That's awesome.
You just hit start record, and it records your screen for as long as you want. And then you hit stop record, and then it makes the file. It sends it to wherever you selected it to go, and then it's ready to go.
Nice.
So, awesome. Like, once I was like, what am I do for Derek's Instagram? And I just pulled it up on the screen, did it, recorded what the screen saw on Instagram. You know, I wanted his video, so I'll just record that, and then boom.
Yeah.
I was done. I had it in my
nice
Premiere viewer in about 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Because you see that often in videos. People were like, they'll like talk about something. They're like, hey, you can do this thing, or like, I'm sponsored by this thing, and so, this is how you would do it. Yep. You'd set it up, and they're just screen recording themselves, like going through their own website or going through a how-to tutorial or whatever.
And for me, it was, at first I was like, I don't know, how do I do it? Do I want to do that? It seemed like a whole thing. Like earlier on, like, you know, whatever, before when we were talking about ads and doing stuff, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to show it and how am I going to record it and what software. It's super simple. So OBS Studio, it's free. If that's something you need to do, use that. It's as easy as it gets.
Sweet. Right on. Awesome. Well, thank you, everybody. Sorry for the technical difficulties along the way, but obviously we'll edit those out. It looks like the second part has all uploaded fine. The first part still says it's regenerating my peaks data, and it's taking a few minutes because it's a larger project. So, but it usually only takes a few minutes, and this has been sitting here for like the last 40 minutes in the same state. So we'll see if I have everything. Usually Cast works really well, and even if there are some old, like, mix-up things, it records along the way. So even if it stops on its own, it kind of sets it aside. So 99% sure we'll be fine. But if for some reason we're not fine and we only caught the second half of this podcast, then you know, we'll see what we do.
We're Dustin. If you're hearing this on Saturday, because it didn't come through, and Dustin just re-recorded an intro or something.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And that's the reason why. But yeah, that's good to be back. Good to be chatting. Sorry we were out for a week, but you know, sometimes you got to take a week off. All right. Thanks, everybody. Like we talked about, we will be kind of reorganize how we do stuff and trying to offer some more stuff for our patrons. So if you are interested in supporting the channel, or if you haven't really thought about it in the past and you're thinking about it now, you can definitely look forward to some new and exciting things that we are going to be offering to our patrons, because we think it's time, you know, time to step it up a little bit more and see what's there to offer. And for all of you who have been patrons in the past, please just know that we are more than appreciative of everything that you have done for us. And you know, we wish that we could have always offered stuff, but you know, it just wasn't always a possibility. So, For those old patrons, when I would love to do something for them, so that is still something that I want to do and I'm planning on doing. So I have everyone's names and emails and stuff. So I'll reach out to those people and try to give you guys something for your dedication for all these years. All right. If you have not already, please head over to YouTube and subscribe there and comment and like and tell us what you think about the videos. So we have the rock balancing video will be coming out shortly. We just put out, 2 weeks ago-ish, 3 weeks ago maybe. We put out the Whiskey River 30C handle, 10 steps for handling an axe. So that video is doing pretty well. So thank you for everyone who's watched that. Got a lot of good feedback on that. And if you guys want to see a little bit more of what's going on behind the scenes and in our lives, both Devin and I, you can head over to Instagram and follow us at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. And head over and check out Derek's Instagram as well, Derek_O'Hara. All right, guys. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.